1948, demolishing the line between public and private lives, and mass connectivity, which gave everybody a rooting interest in and passionate opinion about public actors, large and small. News was personality. Personality was drama and entertainment, that is, conflict. Notoriety, that is, publicity, became the leading currency of our time. The needs, hubris, and ruthlessness of people at the apex of attention, celebrity, and influence, and those striving to reach it, became the grease that kept the world spinning and news cycles rolling. The news was psychopathology. The media did not merely report on, but created the people who made the news. Likewise, self-promoters with ever-increasing skills and cunning gamed the media. And then the world began to revolt against these modern monsters and the agents and enterprises who made them. This new social and political force of personal aggrandizement and media power, the characters it has propelled and the backlash it has inspired, while in many obvious ways deleterious for the commonweal, was propitious for me. As a journalist, my interest wasn't so much subject-specific, politics, healthcare, prison reform, tech, for instance, as it was about how we live now. This vast, unquenchable thirst for attention among people I knew or was able to get to know precisely because they wanted public attention and I could help confer it, has been, to say the least, a compelling window through which to see the world. Icarus, anyone? In the shadow of this celebrity culture, there slowly grew a finer understanding of how this need and quest for attention changed not only the people seeking it and the institutions and technology providing it, but the body politic itself. We expect a show, heroes, villains, life and death. And here too, we began to understand there was a new social and business system fostering all this ego and conflict, full of the scoundrels, swindlers, and self-promoters you might find in a Trollope novel. If you are lucky as a writer, you get to match your interests, sympathies, hankerings, and fears with the culture of your time. I have had more than just a passing or arm's-length relationship with many of the figures in this book. We were interested in the same thing. Or, more to the point, I was interested in them, hence they were interested in me. Everybody knew that most likely, if not explicitly, I would write about them, and yet they persisted in talking to me. Still, many would come to carry a grudge about the fact that I ultimately did write about the things they said to me. In my experience, the worst thing you can say about a social climber, and almost everyone in this book is a determined social climber, is that they are a social climber. It has always confused me why the obvious, the emperor's nakedness, is not obvious to all, and why we all cannot acknowledge the underlying comedy. But pretense is the requirement of fame, and perhaps not surprisingly, the more famous you become, the thinner your skin gets. Almost everybody herein has been burned, often badly, by the fame they have sought. Opprobrium, humiliation, prosecution, jail, even death. But few, other than the dead, have not continued to pursue it. Hillary Clinton has been shamed and maligned at a level impossible for mere mortals to appreciate, and yet has consistently returned for more. Why? Because the famous and would-be famous see themselves as warriors, and implicit in the fight is the possibility of humiliation and defeat? Or because they are self-destructive? Or merely because fame is just the world they live in? What else is there? Several years ago, at one of the regular luncheons hosted by the British satirical magazine Private Eye, long dedicated to the pursuit of the overweening and famous,